Sunday Surefire Podcast. I'm your host, the Commish. Joining me today is the co-host, Aaron Downtown Brown.
Hey, hey.
Aaron, week 15 is behind us. The fantasy playoffs are chugging along here. What's good with you, my man? Tell me how your leagues are going, and if you're still fighting for a championship anywhere in any of your leagues.
You know, I guess it could be worse. I could be, you know, just watching football, not having any teams in it. But it is interesting. One of the leagues I know you're familiar with is so you commissioned one that I'm still in the playoffs, made it through week 15, and the one I commissioned, I lost. So it's funny that seems like, I don't know about you, but if you're a commissioner in a league, it seems like it just, to me, it hurts just a little bit more once you get knocked out. What do you think about that?
Well, I can tell you, as the commissioner of four dynasty leagues, that I definitely agree with you. I've had some bad luck in some of those leagues where I commission, and I've won some of them too that I commissioned. So I've been on both sides of that feeling, and I can tell you it definitely hurts to lose. Real quick on mine here, I ended up getting five teams of the eight that I play in through to the semifinals. Dynasty front in particular has been really going really well. I played in five dynasty leagues. One of them was a designed tank job in year one, so I ended up with the number one pick, which is mission accomplished on that front.
Nice.
You know me, always rebuilding somewhere. But in the other four, I actually am still alive in the semifinals in all four of my other dynasty leagues that I'm in. So overall, it's been a really fun dynasty season, and I can't wait to see how it all comes crashing down in the final 2 weeks of the year.
Agreed. We, you know, should be another year, just an exciting finish, and you know, we're getting a couple stars back and healthy again. And I know we may go into it as we talk some of these games, talking about their last week performances. But you know, I think by now most of the fantasy players out there are pretty aware of some of the big time busts with the Bijan. I know, so a couple guys that may have helped you get to the playoffs let you down, but I guess that's just the ins and outs of fantasy football.
Yeah, I always say that it's making the playoffs in your fantasy leagues is about 70% skill, 30% luck. But when the playoffs start, it's that number gets flipped on its head, where it's more, you know, anything can happen in a 1 week scenario, which is good maybe if you're an underdog and you're fighting to get, you know, up against the higher seed. But you know, all it takes is one bad week to derail 14 good weeks of quality preparation and performance. So more luck than skill this time of year, I always say, and I'll stick by that, even though I'm the one having a good season so far in the playoffs this year. Definitely how I feel. I'll be consistent about that from year to year, and I probably always will be. But let's talk about some guys from week 15 that crushed on the DFS front here. We're talking another daily show here, like we always do in season. So we're going to get this started with our Told You So segment.
You like that? You like that?
And as the winner of last week's weekly contest between the three of us, and also the Thursday night contest that the three of us partake in each week, I'm going to go first here right out of the gate from the Told You So segment. Hit on Matt Stafford at quarterback, had 18.5 points for just $6,000. Hit that 3X mark that we really want in DFS. Curtis Samuel blew it out of the water, 21 points for just $4,900. And then Jaden Reed, 17.2 points for just $4,900. Ethan was on a couple of these guys too. You know, he had Stafford in his lineup. I know that. Also Jaden Reed. He was right about Cooper Kupp. I was on the Puka side of it. I got it wrong last week. So you guys, I think both had Kupp in your lineup go off, which was fun. And Ethan was also on Devin Singletary last week as well. So good week for him. Not quite good enough to pick up a win either contest, but a good week nonetheless, Aaron. What did you get right in week 15?
Yeah, no, definitely good picks there, and congrats on the win there. Continue to make this finish to the year interesting. And then yeah, you mentioned it. I had Cooper Kupp, you know, 8 receptions, 111 yards, one TD, got you 28 fantasy points. So did like the Coop call. I'm sorry, Cooper Kupp call. Noah Brown was an interesting one. I know Ethan was right with Singletary. I was a little, you know, going into it, making additional lineups. So I was thinking, man, either Ethan was going to be right or I was going to be right. But it was having two Texans players. I think in the past, you would have never dreamed of having two Texans in your lineup. But it panned out for both of us. Noah Brown also panned out well. He had 8 catches, 82 yards, and also had a TD. So he gave you 22 points and it only cost you $5,000. So he was my main told you so from last week.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Always great when we're hitting on these players that help you win from week to week. And there's actually another place where you can get our help. You know, obviously we talk about our social media platforms all the time, but there's an even easier way to get direct access to it as well. And that's on the Didit app. That's D-I-D-I-T. It's a great app where you can essentially get connected with a fantasy football analyst at the drop of a hat, you know, via FaceTime. They have really unique features, including screen sharing. So you can essentially show an analyst your lineup and you can talk about, you know, any lineup decisions that you're faced with this week. You know, semifinals are here in a lot of leagues. So if you're not really quite sure you have your lineup, you know, really locked in as good as it should be, you can touch base with an analyst, whether it's one of us, we hope it is, but if not, there's other great analysts on there as well. And completely free to download the app. And also your first call is free too. So you do have to put in your credit card information, but your first call that you make is free to an analyst. So if you like it, great. Now you have a new landline or lifeline you can use for fantasy purposes. And if not, no problem either. You can just move on and delete the app, never look at it again. But I think once you get a taste of this, you know, you're going to want to go back to it again and again. You know, that the fee structure, and when you do have to start paying, is really, really upfront and direct. There's no hidden costs or anything like that. So it's really a great platform to be a part of. And Aaron, I know you've had some conversations on there as well. Do you want to talk about your experience on Didit before we get into the meat and potatoes of our week 16 show?
No, I think you hit it right on the nose, and certainly calling out that, you know, first free call is just so huge, especially this time of year. You know, this is definitely the time you may want to, you know, ask a little bit more advice over if you got a very particular start sit question. So, with your first call being free, it's just really a perfect time to check out that app that did it. Only for iPhone users, but definitely very user friendly. App as well. You can do the screen sharing and everything. So definitely panned out. I know you had a couple calls last week that you really helped a couple lucky callers. I know, and a couple start sits that really panned out for them. So I'm assuming they won their playoff week with that advice. So that could be you out there as well.
Yep, definitely. I was last minute call on Saturday before those games kicked off. I'm like, yeah, just roll with Jordan Love. He's been good. He paid off for 20 points. I'm like, roll with Ty Chandler. He crushed as well on Saturday. Just, you know, good stuff all around. And we're here to help you folks win money just as like we are for ourselves. So give us a shot on the Didit app, and I don't think he'll be disappointed with that. But let's talk about someone that will not disappoint in daily fantasy football lineups this weekend, Aaron. Who are you spending up big time on that's going to pay off for you this week?
All right. So, you know, I'm going to go a little off canter here, and it's like, oh wow, Downtown Brown, here we go again, right? But yeah, surprise, surprise, going a little off the beaten path here. I'm actually not spending up too much. I'm actually going to be bullish with a little bit cheaper guy this week, but that is to get a couple more expensive guys in my lineup. And I'm going only $6,400 at the running back position. Going with a guy that's been injured, but when he is healthy and part of that offense, he certainly puts up some pretty easy points. That's Aaron Jones this week. Green Bay playing against Carolina, kind of going back to the well there. I know, as you know, a lot of fantasy managers are pretty upset over that Atlanta-Carolina game. Rightfully so, because Carolina's really been a pretty terrible defense all season long against the run. They've given up 21 TDs. So I think, you know, I want to definitely look past the Atlanta game with the Arthur Smith debacle. I know a lot of people want his head in the fantasy community. So, you know, I think Green Bay's not going to be stupid. I think, you know, Aaron Jones with the three wide receiver injuries, you know, with Watson, even Jaden Reed got hurt, and a couple of their fill-in wide receivers are banged up. That on top of Dylan having a broken thumb, I think just screams Aaron Jones having a big day. Green Bay still in the playoff contention. You know, they're one of the bubble teams, so they are obviously going to be fighting for wins. Aaron Jones in his first game back had four yards per carry, 53 yards. Did catch four passes, only for 16 yards. But that right there is just an easy 10-point game. That's an easy Aaron Jones 10-point game. I think playing against Carolina this week, with, you know, with, considering they have given up the most rushing touchdowns in the league, and considering the injuries, I do think Green Bay is going to have to, they're going to be forced to lean on Aaron Jones in his return. So he's really my bullish buy this week, and it does set my lineup up to spend up in other areas and positions. So long-winded there, but Aaron Jones is my bullish buy this week.
Yeah, Aaron Jones is a guy who let a lot of managers down this season up to this point, and myself included. I mentioned all those teams I had that I made it to the semifinals. One of the only matchups I lost last week was a week where I had Aaron Jones going after parking him on my bench all year. I guess that's what I get for rostering a running back on the older side. But, you know, I guess I'm against it for that point. Maybe I'm just a little too jaded, which is a rule I try not to break, is to let, you know, biases on a player's affect how I feel about them in daily fantasy. But, you know, Aaron Jones, you know, crushed managers all season long. I get what you're coming from with all the injuries to Green Bay, fighting for the playoffs and all that. But, like, I just feel like Aaron Jones is a guy who's kind of at the end of his rope in his NFL career. And, you know, maybe he can string together one more week of magic for you on the daily front in week 16. But he's a guy I'm going to pass on personally. But I don't hate the price, so I won't completely blast you for it. $6,400 as your bullish buy will certainly allow you flexibility to get other pieces of fantasy goodness in your lineup. And I'm going to go now to a guy who's an absolute volume monster here, and Rashad White going up against the Jacksonville Jaguars at home for $7,300. White has seen 17 or more touches in 8 of Tampa Bay's last 9 contests. He's been efficient with that workload as well, averaging 4 yards per carry or better in each of his last 4 outings. You know, at 18th in the league against opposing running backs, the Jags really are just kind of an average unit against the running back position. But I did want to kind of lean into a game script proof back in Rashad White. And another guy who kind of fits the mold of a bullish buy technically, but not someone you're really breaking the bank on. You know, there's guys this week in the 9,000s that you can get into your lineup if you wanted to really spend up on them. And I wasn't comfortable doing that. So I guess that's my bullish buy here. It's Rashad White. What do you think about him, Aaron?
You know, Rashad White's been pretty safe all year long. I mean, even against tough matchups this year, he still produced, right? Cause he does have that pass catching upside every single week. So he's kind of turned into, I guess, like, coming into the season, you know, people just think of him as more like the poor man's Alvin Kamara, but he's actually just putting up Kamara type games, really. I think he was a top 5 running back coming into last week. I'm not sure if he dropped or not. He is top 5 or not still, but he's definitely having a pretty solid year. And I think with Tampa, another theme to talk about just on this episode is, I think we mentioned it here and there, just teams that are still in contention. You know, they're still putting, you know, there's a lot on the line still making the playoffs, and Tampa Bay being tied with the Saints in that division, you know, they're going to be trying at all costs to win. So I like targeting players from those type of teams late in the season as well. So I like the White call.
Well, let's go to Ethan's bullish buy then. Let's talk about another team, the Detroit Lions, that are definitely in contention coming towards the end of the year. And that's going to be Amon-Ra St. Brown, their number one receiver, for $8,200. This is, I think it should be at least a relatively high-scoring game against the Minnesota Vikings. It's a division game, so you never know how it's going to go. But I think I do have some thoughts I'll share later in the show on the game, but I don't hate the call at all. Amon-Ra is another guy who gets a ton of volume in the Detroit passing offense. And I think if that game shoots out, then Amon-Ra is really going to have a big day for fantasy managers in week 16. Where are you at on the Sun God this week?
Yeah, I like the Sun God. You know, I mentioned with the Aaron Jones pick, you know, St. Brown is one of the players I was able to afford because I went lower at running back this week. So that's the exact example. So I'm glad Ethan was bringing him up. Because I wanted St. Brown in my lineup as well. I think with Minnesota giving, you know, being the most lenient secondary as far as yards per catch on each attempt, I think I said that stat a few weeks ago. They're up to like 7 yards per catch. So that, I think, you know, if you can almost get a first down almost every catch, that's pretty good. So, yeah, I don't think anything changes this week. Minnesota's tightened up slightly on their run defense, so that's kind of where my head is thinking at as well. So I do like St. Brown this week because I do have them in my lineup as well.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty easy, clean sweep, especially if Minnesota is going to be blitz happy like they have been, you know, in recent weeks. I think that we could see, you know, St. Brown is a guy you can get separation off the line quickly, and just getting the ball out of Nick Mullins' hands fast could be a disaster for the defense if he's able to break a tackle as well down the field. But let's talk about, speaking of defenses, let's talk about that position here. Let's go to our two deep segment where we talk about players or defensive units that are going to pay off in for this week. And I'll throw Ethan's out here right off the top. Well, last week he and I were on the episode, just the two of us, and we talked about how themes kind of develop later in the year when it comes to picking your defenses. You find a team that you want to play against, or maybe a specific player that you want to target. And Bryce Young for both of us last week was a guy that we wanted to really pick on and go after. And that's what he's doing again in week 16. He's going to go with the Green Bay Packers. They are playing at the Carolina Panthers this week. So just leaning into that matchup. And I'll toss mine out here as well, Aaron. You can kind of react to both. And I'm going to stick with another NFC North team, but I'm going to roll with the Chicago Bears here for $2,800. Save a little bit of money to the $3,900 you have to spend on the Packers. So $1,100 in savings to roll with the Bears. In recent weeks here, the Bears defense, they've been coming alive as a fantasy unit. They scored 9 or more points in each of their last 4 contests. Kyler Murray is the opposing quarterback going up against the Bears this week, and he's been sacked 14 times in the 5 games since returning from his injury this season, and he's thrown 4 picks and fumbled 5 times as well. He's actually been a little bit lucky on the fumble front. He's yet to lose one of those fumbles, but it's one of those things when it comes to fumbling. If you continually put the ball on the ground, eventually it's going to go the other way. And I think with the Bears kind of rounding into form on the defensive side of the ball, that you could do a lot worse than the unit you can get in your lineup for under $3,000. So I'm going with the Bears. Ethan's going with the Packers. Curious to see what you think about that and which stonewall defense you're putting in your lineup this week.
All right. Yeah, I think we're bringing up a couple good ones this week. Now, if I had to pick, I actually would like your Bears call a little bit better. And that's because I don't have them, but I did. They were in my lineup for a while. The only thing that swayed my decision a little bit is, just the Kyler Murray factor. I mean, yes, he is putting up turnovers. That was against the Niners, but I was actually pleasantly surprised that they actually did put up points against the Niners, kind of somewhat early in the game. But yeah, I think the Bears, they're an example of a defense that kind of flipped the script this year. They actually started turning it into a pretty stout defense, as you said, in recent weeks. So I like the Bears call. Out of all weeks, I would be actually a little bit hesitant on Green Bay playing away in December. You know, we know Green Bay's record in December, but just that defense, that secondary is really banged up. They're really bad. Jair Alexander hasn't been playing as well, so I know he just makes a huge difference when he's playing and when he's not. So, you know, I think also with just Chuba Hubbard coming on as late, they're just kind of switching. Reference to Carolina, kind of switching to more to just a run attack offense, just kind of looking at, you know, kind of horrendous Bryce Young has been this year. So that's actually what worked for them last year, Carolina, where they were in playoff contention. So probably what they should have done all year long to keep the games interesting, a little closer, almost that Atlanta mind state. So going back between those two, I like the Bears call. I went slightly cheaper. I went the Tennessee Titans. I'm going to call out, I'm not in love with the Tennessee Titans. They are playing Seattle. You know, just kind of looking at, you know, just Seattle's situation. You know, Drew Lock did have a great comeback win against the Eagles this week. They still didn't put up a whole lot of points. But one of the things I really gravitated here is I just wanted a couple easy points in this defense category this week. And Well, the one thing the Titans do get is they get sacks. They have 41 sacks on the year. So when you compare that defense to your top five selections, the top five highest salaried selections in this week's lineup, they actually have the most sacks out of all of them. So as you know, you get points for sacks. Even if you get blown out, you know, you're going to score a little bit there. So like I said, I don't love it, but I do like the fact that they'll get you some points with sacks. So I went a little bit cheaper with the Titans this week with my defense.
Fair enough. The Titans typically tend to play a little bit better at home than on the road. And you got Seattle traveling across the country on a short week as well, kind of working against them. And you don't really know who the quarterback's going to be. It could be Geno, it could be Drew Locke. We'll see who they end up lining up under center. So I like the call out there too. Kind of another week where we give the listeners a really good range of defenses from cheaper to more expensive. So good calls there, I think. We'll see which one works out the best in week 16. And with that, we're going to move on to our pick six category. This is where we talk about lower value players that you could get into your lineup for an inexpensive price point that are still going to produce this week. And I'll kick it off here with both of Ethan's players. He's going to go back to this Bears game. He's going to go with Roschon Johnson for $4,800. And then we're going to go back to the Seattle-Tennessee game that you just referenced to Jaxon Smith-Njigba for $4,500. So those are his two players, Aaron. Where are you at on those guys for this week?
I'll start with JSN. I think just since I just called out that Tennessee defense, I think, you know, the one thing to call out is the Tennessee secondary. They're kind of diminished. They even to start the year, you know, they were not a strong secondary. I mean, they lost, Byard to the Eagles as well. So he was their best safety. But yeah, JSN, yeah, I mean, he had that game-winning catch. I think he's coming on a little bit more of late, kind of just seeing that caliber of player he can turn into being. But once again, I think it just does depend how well that quarterback play is in that Seattle-Tennessee game, playing at home for the Titans. But hey, I don't think it's a bad call. But I just don't know. I mean, maybe if Geno is playing, he's kind of a better dink and dunk guy. To kind of give the PPR points to JSN. I mean, JSN did just show he can blow kind of blow the top off you and beat his man for that long score. But I don't hate it. But I guess I'm not in love with it, but I don't hate it. And then with Roschon Johnson, that one I'm going to have to love, actually, because I have Roschon in my lineup. So Ethan and I are agreeing with Roschon. I do like that matchup. Another just targeting another weak run defense with Arizona. Arizona's been just letting running backs run all over them all year. So yeah, Roschon, you know, he actually just last week he ended up getting 74% snap share. So, you know, kind of going back to the theme late in the season, as I was talking about, one other target or strategy I like doing is targeting rookies late in the year, right? Because These are players that are starting to turn the corner, and the franchises are really wanting them to kind of be that lead guy the next year. So, I guess I got shares in Roschon and other leagues, but I'm also thinking that that's what the Bears are doing. We saw that in the snap percentage with Roschon, and you know, Herbert only getting 12 yards, Foreman at -6 on the ground as well. So I think that's a good call out. I think they may want to put a spotlight on Roschon this week.
I like Roschon for the pass catching upside. I think he offers at this stage of his career as a young player a lot more of that than a Khalil Herbert or a Deonta Foreman, certainly. You know, as he's an older running back, yeah, I think the only thing I would worry about here is Foreman seemed to be the preferred option at the goal line. I know he had the -6 yards that you referenced, but a lot of that is him getting hit in the backfield due to a lack of consistent blocking up front. So hard to hold that against him. And, you know, it is a split backfield, and Justin Fields also is mobile. So it's tough to really pin down which back is going to be going off in a particular week. But I do like, if I'm betting on a Bears running back, Roschon's going to be my guy too. So don't completely hate that one. And, you know, Smith-Njigba, I feel like, is one of those guys that you mentioned where the rookie comes on late and he's sometimes available in redraft leagues because people draft these guys thinking they're going to be good. They take more time to develop than managers would like. You know, they're not giving you the production right away, but as their rookie campaign rolls on, they get more and more comfortable. They develop more chemistry. They start to figure out the NFL a little bit, and then they kind of crush down the stretch. You know, we saw him make a big play in that Monday night game towards the end of it to put the team ahead last week. So maybe this really is the start of something special for JSN. We'll never know, but hey, Ethan's putting him in his lineup to find out. So that's what he's got. And I'll give you what I got here. I'm going with a guy that I just can't believe that he's still priced this low. And it's actually something that Ethan and I said about Jaden Reed last week. We had, you know, this guy's crushing every week. Can't believe he's still low. Lo and behold, he goes off again. And I'm going to look to stay hot here with David Njoku for $5,300 playing at the Houston Texans. And, you know, he's actually finished as a top eight tight end in five of his last six games. So just uber productive over that span. In each of his last 2 weeks, he's been tight end number two overall on the slate. And for the entire season, he's ranked fourth in the league among tight ends when it comes to targets. So the volume is certainly slanted his way in this Cleveland passing attack, especially with Joe Flacco under center. He's just kind of looking for him at any turn. And if you want to look at the matchup, Houston's in the bottom three, the bottom third of the league against tight ends this year. So a lot of things lining up. Njoku's hot. Flacco's looking for him all day, and he's got a good matchup here at a cheap price point, $5,300. So I'm all in, man. Give me as much David Njoku as I can stuff into my lineups in week 16. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I love the Njoku call. It's one where I don't even want to have an opposite opinion there. I mean, we could all – it's kind of fun to see just Flacco just slinging it around, you know, throwing over 300 yards a game, just – coming off his couch. Right. So I think that's pretty cool. You know, another one where, you know, Browns, they're in contention at the playoffs, right? They're actually right now, if the season end, they'd be in the playoffs, right? So, you know, another one where they're just gonna, you know, I think they just stick to what's working, and Njoku has got targets written all over him. So I think that's a good call, week in, week out now. And especially the matchup against Houston, I think that's just great. That secondary, I mean, Houston's defense has kind of flipped a little bit this year. They're not that, you know, that defense you can run all over, but you can, they you can still pass on them. So I like the call with Njoku there. And I guess to close up, or at least my second pick six, as I mentioned, I had Roshan as one of my guys. My second pick six is also a tight end. I'm going 4,900 in the Dallas Miami game. I was kind of looking at that. I was like, man, I gotta, you know, I don't know if I wanted to get the 9,000 guys with Tyreek and CeeDee Lamb in my lineup or not, but you know, that over is 51 points. And I'm like, gosh, I gotta get somebody in there. And to me, that's going to be Jake Ferguson at 4,900. Kind of looking at his season. I mean, he's tied in eight and half point PPR, right? So it's about pretty much close to the same nine in full point, averaging double digits every week. So he's definitely one of Dak's favorite targets this year. He's getting eight targets or more per game. But then also just zoning in on this matchup, I mentioned the over. I think there'll be a lot of passing going on in this game. But also just look at Miami's corners, right? You know, one of their strengths, I know we've brought this up in recent even seasons too, right? This was before they had Ramsey, but you got Ramsey that's going to be on Lamb. You got Xavier Howard that can hover around and on either Gallup or Cooks, right? But you know, it does leave the middle of the road defense against tight ends in Miami for Ferguson to have some red zone look. So I do think that Ferguson is going to come down with the touchdown this week on such a hot, you know, presumed to be a high scoring game. So I went Ferguson on 4,900 this week for my second pick six.
Well, there's certainly nothing wrong with targeting a game with a high over under at 51. It's actually the highest over under on the slate at the moment. And Dallas, as we saw, they got eviscerated in Buffalo last week. But I do think this is a good Dallas Cowboys football team. Maybe not their elite, you know, squad or anything like that, not top of the league, but I think they're really solid. And I think at least offensively, they're going to have a bounce back performance than what we saw. I think they're just too good to have two complete clunkers like that in a row. So I like getting pieces of the Dallas Miami game in your lineup on either side of it. I know Roshan Johnson, obviously Roshan Johnson's guy Ethan likes, but another guy that Ethan likes was Raheem Mostert, getting him in there, the RB2 overall this season in most formats. So I think this is a game that there's no secrets. It's going to be high scoring. So I like the call with Ferguson there. Not as quite as much as Njoku, of course, but you know I do like that one. And I'll close the category here, if you will, on the pick six segment. And I'm going to go really cheap at quarterback here. I'm going to go Nick Mullins versus the Detroit Lions for 5,300. And look, I was impressed with what I saw out of Mullins on the road last week. Ended up posting 22 fantasy points in his first start in the season, first start in several years, in fact. And, you know, he just kind of falls into a really good situation with the Vikings. You know, we know Justin Jefferson's now back in the lineup. We know that TJ Hockenson is one of the best pass-catching tight ends in the game. And we saw him develop instant chemistry with one of those rookies that we've been talking up. And this time coming in the form of Jordan Addison for 2 scores and over 100 yards. But the Vikings offensive line as well is also kind of sneaky, one of the better units in the game. You know, Pro Football Focus has them ranked 8th in the league among all the other offensive lines in the NFL. So kind of just all getting plopped in here in Mullins' lap and lining up in his favor here is a good situation. You know, say what you will about Mullins not getting a lot of playtime on the field, but he's been around the NFL for 7 years. And when you give him time, he can distribute the rock when needed. And if you want to tack on like the Lions, man, for as good as the years they have, and they're going to be in the playoffs for the first time in forever, and that's all well and good. They're having a really hard time in the secondary against opposing quarterbacks. Now, Russell Wilson, man, they did a great job against him last week in the first half, but you know they basically shut him out. I think he had 1 point in the first half, and then he still ended up finishing with 17, 18 points, depending on your format. So even when they have a good day and they shut a team down for half, they still kind of give it up in the second half. So I think the Vikings are going to keep it more competitive, and it's probably going to be a close division game. But I think this game itself is going to be a little bit more higher scoring than you think. And I'm actually going back to Stack City here with going back to Addison, banking on a second big week in a row from him. And, you know, the last time it worked out, Aaron, with Joe Flacco and Njoku, when I took that cheap trip to Stack City. So maybe it'll work out again for me this time around here. What do you think about the Nick Mullins call out against the Lions?
You know, I like it. I definitely like it. Do you want to know why I like it?
I'm going to guess you like it so much that you have it in your lineup yourself.
That's right, my man. So, yeah, we're definitely in agreement this week. So we got another, another agreed player here in the pick six category. But it's funny. We sometimes look for avenues to bring up different things, and I'm glad it worked out this way. You're bringing up Mullins. I also took a trip to Stack City this week with Mullins, not Addison, but I have Mr. Justin Jefferson in there too. So it's kind of how I led off in today's show, saying, hey, Aaron Jones afforded me, you know, to get some of those big wig guys in my lineup, and Jefferson was another one. So, I like the Mullins call, and as you said, Detroit is actually another one, you know, just like the Vikings, they do give up a lot of yards per catch as well. So, they're in that same vicinity as far as just, you know, being a little bit more lenient on, they give a little more give, right? And I think they try to do that bend but don't break, but, unfortunately they break a little more often.
You are just all about targeting the guys that season-long fantasy players are kind of like shaking their heads at this year, between Jefferson getting injured and Aaron Jones also being injured and then just not being out there this year. That league I referenced where I had Aaron Jones let me down, I also drafted Justin Jefferson 1-on-1 overall. So just was not going to be my year. two guys that have been great for fantasy purposes in the past, just not putting it together in 2023. But okay, yeah. Nothing wrong with a trip to Stack City. Obviously, Jefferson's a stud. He's just coming off an injury plague season. And maybe this is the week he finally blows up post-hamstring injury. We'll see about that. But another game we hope is really going to be a blow-up spot is our Thursday night Under the Lights matchup. And that one features, of course, the New Orleans Saints taking a trip out to L.A., to play the Rams. And this one here, LA is opening up as a -4 favorite. The over under for the game is 45.5. And look, the last few Thursday night games have been kind of dreadful matchups coming in with not a lot of hype around them, but this one here, it looks, at least on paper, like it's going to be a quality matchup. Both teams are 7-7 and fighting for one of the last playoff spots in the NFC. Personally, if I'm picking the game here, I like the Rams to cover the spread here at home. They just kind of have the feel of a veteran team that's finding their groove late in the season. They got a a home win. It was really, the scoreboard was closer than the game would have indicated against the Commanders. And they had a really tough loss to the top seeded Ravens over in the AFC the week before that. So, but they did compete in that game. It went to overtime. So I just see a team here at the Rams. There's a lot of championship pedigree still in that locker room from just a couple years ago. You know, permeates from the coaching staff to the quarterback, Aaron Donald on defense, Cooper Kupp on offense as well. Some linemen still in the mix, but you know, I trust them more down the stretch here than I do the Saints team that really hasn't proven much with this collection of Saints. So I'm gonna roll with the Rams with this one. I think they're gonna cover the spread here. I maybe even teasing. I'm debating teasing it up to even like 6.5. Give myself a whole touchdown spread to get the odds up there. Not sure I'm gonna pull the trigger on that, but I do feel confident betting in Saints -4. So how do you see this one playing out here between the Saints and the Rams on Thursday night?
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna agree with you here. I'm also on the Rams this week as far as you know, I guess betting purposes go. I think they cover the 4, I want to say it was. You know, and I think, as you said, I think the Rams, they had a huge turnaround season. You know, they actually look like a pretty decent football team this year, like a lot more upside. Last year just seemed like a joke, right? I mean, of course they had the Cooper Kupp's injury, but just that offense just was atrocious, right? And you got a lot of good stories with Kyren Williams, right? So he's kind of taking over as that that running back there. But I think the main story is their defense, right? Like last year in DFS, you could target that secondary, the run defense. You could get ran on all over. But now I think they're like the fourth best against opposing fantasy running backs too. So their defense is tightened up. Their offense is looking good and clicking. And as you said, they've won a Super Bowl in recent years, right? So they got teams, or players on that team to keep things competitive. So I like the Rams this week as well. Because yeah, on the contrary, just the Saints is just kind of they were the favorites in their division, and now they're fighting for that division. You know, yeah, I think a lot of us thought they could have ran away with it with, you know, Carr kind of leading that team through it. You know, for a couple years, it just seemed like they just needed a average or above, slightly above average quarterback to lead them through that division. And they kind of got one with Carr, and it just hasn't panned up. So that's what I think over the game. Yeah, and I guess if you want to go into captains, we can go right into that next.
Yeah, let's talk about captains lineups. And for those who don't know, we talk Thursday Night Football like we just did, and then we talk about our captains lineups for that game. Essentially, all that is it's a 6-player lineup that you're filling out. You have to elect one player to be your captain for the contest. The captain costs 1.5 times the cost they normally would if you want to get him in your captain slot, but you also get 1.5 times the points for putting a player in your captain slot. And so we like to talk about who we're high on in the matchup and who we want to throw into that slot here. And let's start with Ethan's captain's play this week. And he is going with Matthew Stafford. He's keeping it real simple here. Just going with the quarterback here. He's expensive, of course, at 15,000. So a big number to get Stafford into your lineup. But I think he's thinking that Stafford's probably going to throw a couple of touchdowns in this game. And I think he's probably going back to Stack City and going with Cooper Kupp too in his lineup. I don't know that for sure, but he I'd imagine he probably is. But what do you think about Stafford as his captain?
You know, it's interesting. Just kind of as I was kind of outlaying how these teams are performing. I mean, I think if you, the Saints defense was one where they had such a hard rush defense and pass defense in recent years. It's kind of their run defense that's laying up a lot of points. So I'm not on Stafford in this game. I do like Kupp. I do think they can move the ball on the Saints, but that Saints defense has given up a lot of big runs this year. So I'm thinking Stafford's going to be able to drive the ball down the field, but I think they actually punch it in with Kyren Williams. So I guess along those lines, Kyren Williams is not my captain, but I do have him in my lineup. But who is in my lineup is it's kind of interesting. I'm going with kind of a different approach this week. You're not one of the stars, not a defense, not a kicker, but I'm going with a guy who can have breakout games. He delivers big plays, and that's no other than Rashid Shaheed of the Saints. So I like getting Shaheed in my captain spot this week for a couple reasons. And you got the Saint, you got Olave coming off of injury. I'm hoping that Olave is actually back. I think that actually alleviates pressure off of Shaheed because that allows his defenses to kind of forget about him. So I'm kind of hoping for a big play or a couple big plays from Shaheed. But really my favorite part is just what my lineup looks like after I get Shaheed and as my captain. I can get Kupp, I can get Kamara, I can get Kyren Williams and guys like that. So I did not throw Stafford in there because I'm actually hoping that they punch it in with Kyren, and I kind of wanted to go one way or the other, either passing or rushing. So I went rushing on the Rams side.
Yeah, I thought you were setting us up for like another defense or a kicker call there when you said you were going away from the high profile guys, which is something that you're usually all about, but you're cheaping out the receiver in Shaheed. You know, we'll see how that pans out. It's obviously you're going out on a limb there, but you're basically just banking on a touchdown from him. So if you get it, I think you're going to be pretty happy. And I guess I'm kind of banking on a touchdown as well with my player. I'm going to go with Tyler Higbee for $8,700. The Saints D, they can actually be pretty stingy against opposing wide receivers, but they give up the fourth most points to opposing tight ends, which is why I like Higbee in this one. And, you know, I really wanted to get a few more of those high profile pieces that you talked about into my lineup. So I went a little cheaper in the captain slot in order to do so. Don't have a ton more really to add on Higbee. So I guess we'll give me your quick thoughts on that before we move into our hot takes.
Yeah, I think Higbee, he's one that they can definitely dial up in that offense. And yeah, I think against the Saints, I think you hit on it. You know, I think with Lattimore out there and guys that can kind of lock down some receivers at times, I think that's just exactly what I was saying too, where I think the Rams are going to be able to just move, matriculate the ball down the field, as all you Chiefs fans may be aware of that saying. But I think the Rams will be able to just move the ball at will. But like I said, I'm just looking for a punch in. So whether that's just a short toss to Higbee, or I'm kind of betting on Kyren running it in as well. But I think we're along the same lines of thinking, getting Higbee or Kyren in the game.
All right. Well, there you go. That's a wrap for Thursday Night Football, folks. And with that, we're going to move into some scorching hot takes. This is why I'm hot. And I'm going to lead off on this one. I'm going to go with my pick six quarterback, my cheap play of the week, Nick Mullins. I'm going to say he's going to have 275 plus passing yards and three total touchdowns. Not maybe one of those is rushing. Maybe it's three passing touchdowns. I don't really know, but I know that Nick Mullins is going to have a big day. 275 plus through the air and three total touchdowns. So give me your take on that one, and then let me know what scorching hot take you're throwing out there for week 16.
Ooh, I like it. I like it because I have Mullins and I have Jefferson. So hopefully one of those three touchdowns is to my guys there. So I don't hate it. I'm actually cheering that on for you. So we'll find that in the throw a prop in there for the Discord. So I'm kind of along the same page with you here too. I'm gonna do another player prop bet here. I'm going back to my bullish buy with it. My man Aaron Jones. I know he's let a lot of fantasy owners down as you mentioned, but I think he has a big game. I think he's at I think if you throw him as a two touchdown scorer and plus 100 rushing and receiving total yards and over 2.5 catches in the game, I think it's very close to easy money this week. So easy money in the hot take. That's what I'm going at this week, and I'll definitely try to find that same game parlay with him.
I know you will. If there's one guy in the world I know that can find the same game parlay just about anywhere, even when he's not in a state where he can use his betting apps, he'll find a way to reach out to a guy to place a wager in there, and that's my man Aaron Downtown Brown. So I know you're our parlay all day, parlay all night guy, and it sounds like you're going to be again this weekend. So
That's right. I'll be back home this week, so I can find my own bets, but I'll be able to share them a little bit easier on Discord this week.
Very good, very good. And make sure you're checking out that Discord, speaking of which. It's posted on all of our social media platforms. We do all kinds of advice in there. We do general NFL talk. We do betting advice. We do daily fantasy advice. And, of course, Dynasty talk, too. That stuff will heat up once the offseason hits as well. But, well, we're talking all kinds of fantasy football here 24/7 in our Discord. Again, that link is pinned in all of our social media platforms. Check us out on Instagram at Sunday Surefire. And on X at Sunday_Surefire. And until next time, folks, peace.